Okay, so as mentioned, we're going to go back to the Chof Tes Omad Aleph. We're going to do Chazar of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad Boid Kim Eso Edim. How do you examine the Edim? As always, we'll do Chazar fairly quickly. If it's too quickly, then please stop me. Ketzad Boid Kim Eso Edim. Hu Machnisin Oysom Lecheder. You bring them into a room, Ma'aymin Aleihem, and you would scare them, intimidate them, and explain how serious this is. U'moitzin es kol odom l'chutz. You take everybody outside, u'mashayrin es agodol shebohen. And you leave in only the biggest of them. V'oimrim loy, tell us, emoir, heichat yodeh shezeh chayev, lozeh, how do you know? Here you are claiming, we're talking about Dine Momonos for the while, you claim that Reuven owes money to Shimon. Could you please back that up? How do you know that Reuven owes money to Shimon? Says the Gemara. Im Oimer, sorry, the Mishnah, excuse me. Im Oimer, hu Omar li shani chayev. If he says, well, I know that he's chayev because he told me so. Shani chayev loy ish ployni, or ish ployni omar li shu chayev loy, or somebody else told me that he's chayev, then loy omar klum. That's nothing. What's considered edus? Ad she yomar befoneinu hoy de loy shu chayev loy moedusus. It was actually in front of us, in front of the two of us, not just in front of me, that he openly admitted that he's actually chayev 200 zuz to the other fellow. Now, we did see exceptions to this in the Gemara. We'll revisit this. Then you bring in the second aid. You ask him the same questions. Im nimsu divreim mechuvonim. If you find that their testimony is aligned, so they're saying the same thing, then noisin v'noisin bedova. So then the Bezdin would now discuss the case. If the eidos is misaligned, well, there's nothing for the Dayanim to discuss, because as far as we're concerned, there are no Edim. The baseline is that the Edim are saying the same thing. If the Edim are saying the same thing, well, then there's what to discuss. So now the Bezdin will discuss the case, and they come up with, yes, Ray.
Is there ever any situation where the Bezdin says, they felt that these guys are repeating word for word exactly what happened? It's not natural. Maybe they colluded. In other words, when somebody tells the same story, it's got to be a little different.
Right,
when somebody
right.
comes back and says the exact same story, it sounds like collusion.
I don't remember seeing, but you do remind me. We're still in Adar. We're still Besimcha. So you remind me of the teacher who told the kid in the class that I failed your test because you cheated. You cheated in the exam. So the student says, well, how do you know? She says, well, you clearly copied the guy sitting next to you. How do you know? He says, well, because I see you wrote all the same answers, word for word, everything that he wrote, you wrote as well. So you clearly must have copied. So the student says, well, how do you know? Maybe I just came up with the same answers. We just happened to think of word for word, the same answer. He said, yeah, but one of the questions your friend wrote, I don't know. And you wrote, neither do I. So that really gave it away. Okay, says the Mishnah. So the Beis Din have a discussion. Shnayim oimrim zakai. So here we have a majority opinion. Remember, we said all the Dayanim have to express their opinion. It's not just enough to have two out of three. It's got to be that all three express their opinion. And then you'd go with the majority. So if Shnayim Oimrim Zakai Ve'echad Oimer Chayev, if two said guilty and one said Chayev, then he's Zakai. If Shnayim Oimrim Zakin Chayev Ve'echad Oimer Zakai, then he's Chayev. But what happens if Echad Oimer Chayev Ve'echad Oimer Zakai, one said Chayev and one said Zakai, which means that the third one has not even expressed his opinion. So in that case, it's obvious that we have to now bring in new Dayanim. The Chiddush is the next case. Afilu Shnayim Zakin or Shnayim Chayvin. Even if two said innocent or two said guilty, so you might have said, well, who in the world cares now that the third one didn't express his opinion? Even if he would have expressed his opinion, he would have been outnumbered anyway. You've still got to add Dayanim because until such point that three dayanim express their opinion, that's not considered a psak of the Beis Din. Gomru es hadavo. Then finally they get to the psak. Hoyu machnisin oison hagodol shebedayot machnisin oison. They bring them back in, the defendants, and they would say, hagodol shebedayonin oimer ish ployni ato zakai. Remember, we had a discussion in the Gemara. Exactly how is that expressed? Is that expressed as in, this is the opinion of the Beis Din? Do we tell them whether it was a split decision? Do we tell them which Dayan said which? Is it a case of Lashon Hara? We saw all of that in the Gemara, but for the moment, the psak of the Beis Din, you are chayev, or you are innocent. Ish ployni ato zakai, ish ployni ato chayev. Uminayin lechashayetze. Now this would have to work out. How do I know that after they go out, lo yoimer ani mezakeh, you should not say that I actually held you innocent, but what should I do? V'chaveirei mechayvim. But my other friends held you guilty in my essa. What should I do? Shechaveirei rabu alai. My friends outnumbered me. No, do not say that. Al zeh nema lo yiseilech rochel ba'amecha, hoileich rochel megaleh soid. So we have to see how that fits in with the Gemara, because that seems to be actually subject of a machlokes in the Gemara. Okay, so let's begin the Gemara. Heichi omar lu. So what does it mean that they would be ma'ayim on the Edim? They would intimidate the Edim. How so? Omar Rav Yehuda, hochi omrinon luhu, nasim veruach, v'geshem ein ish muhulal, ein ish mischalel, b'matas sheker. Nobody is should be mischalel by giving a gift of sheker. In other words, we're warning you, do not tell a lie. Omar le rova yochli lemeima shev shoni have a kafna. There were 7 years of famine. The above umna loy cholif. The Pasuk says, it warns that if somebody tells a lie, there'll be serious consequences. There won't be wind or rain. It says there'll be a lack of rain. So that's the intimidation. We're warning you that if you say sheker, that could cause a lack of rain. To which Rava is saying, but that's not much of an intimidation. Why? How did we translate that Rabbi Yosef last time? We don't remember now.
Here. There may be a 7 year famine,
right?
But it doesn't enter a craftsman's door. That
right.
is, we may rely on our craft to sustain us even in times of famine.
In other words, it's not enough of an intimidation to say there'll be no rain. Maybe these people will be cynical and they say, Beseda, we'll outsmart God and we'll somehow come up with a parnasa because we're such skilled laborers that we'll be able to manufacture something and sell it. So it doesn't seem enough of a threat to merely say to them that if you're not careful, there'll be no rain. So we have to say something a bit more dramatic. Elo marov, omrina lohu mapatz v'cherev. There'll be a sword. V'cheit shonon ish oyne b'reyeo eit sheker. If there's going to be sheker, there'll be a sword. It won't just be famine. Omalei Ravashi. Ravashi said, that's also not enough of an intimidation. Why not? Because yochli l'meima shev shoni have a musna. V'inish b'loy shanya loy shochiv. How does that translate, Rab Yosef?
There may be a 7 year plague,
right,
but no man dies prematurely. That is, the day of death is preordained.
In other words, the sword that we're threatening with is the sword of the Malach HaMoves, and they may not be intimidated by that either. They'll say, excuse me, everybody has a preordained day that he's going to die. I don't believe that things are going to change. El Omar Ravashi, and this is now the Maskana. Omar li nosan bar mora zutra omrina lohu sadi shakri Zili. Unbelievable. Do you know how you intimidate them? You say, listen, if you're telling Shaka, which means that you've clearly been paid, you've been hired by somebody to give false testimony, you should know that's the biggest bazillion. You're being abused. You're being embarrassed. What a cheap, lowly type of work that is. So it's quite an incredible piece of Gemara, by the way. You can threaten somebody with hunger. You can threaten somebody with death. Doesn't seem to faze him much. But if you tell him that you're a bezoyan, you've got no credence to you. You're worth nothing. It's the most lowly task to agree to be paid by somebody to give false testimony. That will finally intimidate him. You see the koyach of a person's self-esteem. Okay, back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Messiah, Leila, Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Tzorech sheyoymar atem eida. You've got to formally appoint the Eidim and say that when I'm admitting that I, Reuven, owe Shimon money, I know I'm saying it in the presence of Levi and Yehuda, and I'm formally appointing you as Eidim. Itmer Nami, so too Amar Rav Chiya Abba Rav Yochanan. The same thing. Tanya Nami Hochi, Mona li b'yadcha. If one says, you owe me a mona, Omar loy hein, and he says, yes, I agree. Lamochar Omar nu tleu, he said, pay up. Omar loy mashata ani boch, I was only joking. Then indeed he's potter. Why? I admitted it yesterday. Like we said, mere admission is not enough. It's got to be in front of Edim, in front of formally appointed Edim, and then you can't say I was joking. But otherwise, you can say, not only that. Even if the claimer, the potential alleged lender, hid money behind a fence, and he said yes, and obviously he didn't realize that there are Edim there. He says, no, would you be happy to admit in front of two Edom? Omar lo, and he says, Misyari, I would be afraid. Ani shemo tachpeni ledin. I'm worried that maybe they'd force me to din. So he's not denying it. He says, I just don't wanna, I don't have patience now for Edom. He says, Lemochar, but I was joking, even though it seemed to be very serious. If you were not serious, then what would it bother you that there were Edim there? Nonetheless, because I did not formally appoint Edim, Memela, I would be potter. Says the Gemara, Ve'ein toyanin lemesis. We do not taina on behalf of a mesis. You remember what a mesis is? A mesis is somebody who causes other to do averas. If he ever finds himself in court, we would not try and explain to him, present him with claims that would help his cause. Now, one second. Who's discussing Mesis over here? Mesis, man, dochar shmei. Whoever mentioned the Mesis, who's discussing this bechlav? Gemara says there's some words missing. Chasuri mechsuri v'ochiktonim. There's some words missing, and this is essentially what it should really say. It should say, imloi toan. If he didn't tie, remember, he's always got a winning claim. What's his winning claim? I may well have admitted to you yesterday that I owe you the money, but actually I was joking. So all I need to say is those magic three words, Meshata ani boch. Now, he may not know that this is a winning claim. So perhaps we should educate him. And the Gemara says, we do not do that. Ein toyanin. If he himself does not, of his own volition, say, I was joking, we do not encourage him or inform him that that would, in fact, be a winning claim. However, ubedine nefashais, if it's a case of life or death, then we would. Afagav deloy toyanin, like, in order to alleviate him, chas v'shalom, from the possibility of having to face a death penalty, we would say to him, do you know, no, you can get yourself off the hook. You can say Mashata Anibokh. However, the Ein Toyanin Lemesis. So even though we do Taina means we would express a claim on behalf of somebody who's facing a potential death penalty, but not so a Mesis. Not so somebody who caused others to do Averas. Why not? My Shna Mesis. I learned this from the Shir of Reb Chiya. Shani Mesis. Mesis is different, as clearly expressed by the Torah. The Rachmana Omer, the Torah clearly says, Loi tachmoil v'loi techase olov. Do not have compassion. Do not try and cover up. Do not help the Mesis in any which way. So it's bad enough for somebody to be over an Avera, but to cause somebody else to be over an Avera is even worse. So much so that we do not have any compassion. How do I know? What's the source that I do not claim, I do not assist in any way the Mesis? The answer is, the original snake in Gan Eden. Because that original Nachash, in theory, could have had many winning arguments, and he did not claim them. Well, if he didn't claim them, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu claim it on his behalf? So the answer must be because he himself, the Nachash, did not claim it. And if he didn't make these claims, even though they were potential victorious claims, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not stepping in. Do you know why? Because we do not help a Mesis. Even though the Nachash could have had victorious claims, what could he have said? My Havalei Lameima, what could the Nachash have said? He could have easily said, Divrei Rav. How can you indict me because I caused Adam and Chava to eat of the tree? But they heard clearly from you, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that they should not eat the tree. That's what they heard from the Rav. And I'm a mere Talmud. So why are you blaming me? If somebody hears an instruction from the Rav and impose an instruction from the Talmud, well, obviously they should listen to the Rav. Nothing to do with me. It's their own fault. And had the Nachash only claimed that, he would have won. That's one possibility. Another possibility, Omar Chizkia. Yeah, no, that would have been the winning time. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
What is the value of a guy saying, you know, yeah, I'm joking, because Bazin told him, you know, you can say you were joking if you were. And in fact, I mean, I don't even understand that to be real. And in fact, aren't they in fact Mesis? Because if they're causing him to come up with a lie that he was joking, then they're instigating him to do an Avera. So they themselves are Mesis. The guy wasn't joking. And you're saying, by the way, if you want to say you were joking, it's okay. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I was joking. I don't even understand the rationale there. And if that's the case, they're in fact a Mesis. They're instigating him to commit an Avera.
Put the Mesis question aside. Let's ask your first question. What is the whole rationale about Bezdin giving a taina on behalf of the Tevea, on behalf of the Nitzvah? After all, he admitted that he owes the money, and he's about to take cash out of his pocket, and we whisper in his ear, well, if only you would claim that you were joking, you'd be off the hook. Oh, okay, I was joking. Right, you're off the hook. What's the svara behind that, you're asking? Forget whether Bezdin are Mesis or not. What's the logic? Why is there any credence to a taina that he never claimed, and he's only saying so because somebody explained to him that you'd win the case this way? It's a good question. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Altskor points out anything on here on the Indian of Mesis? Not Mesis, excuse me, of Tainin that we would say to Meshatani?
I'm not sure about that, actually. I'm sorry. He has got something about the maces, the
But
defense.
before the Mesis, im loy toan bedine nefashos, the Gemara says, afagav deloy toan toan in loy.
Yeah, this practice is based on the verse
yes,
in Mishlei. Yeah, open your mouth on behalf of the mute.
Right, open
speak
your mouth
up on behalf of one who cannot do it himself.
Okay, that's a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "Sach piso, sach picho le'ilim." Rilari is asking, what's the logic behind it? We understand the source. What's the logic? What's is there a logic behind this to claim something on behalf of somebody who himself never claimed it?
To exonerate him in one case, the court speaks on behalf of the defendant only in an instance where he cannot be expected to be familiar with the details of his case.
By the way, we do see, I think it could be we bumped into this principle at earlier stages, we'll probably come back to it, that we take cases of dinei nefashos extremely seriously. There is a pasuk in the Torah of Hitzilu Ha'edo, you have to do everything you can to save somebody. And that's why in the case of monetary cases, there is no halacha of explaining what he could claim. But in the case of nefashos, there is. We would explain to him, if you would claim ABC, you'd get yourself off the hook. Larry's asking, what's the logic? Well, at least the direction to understand it is because we have to do absolutely everything we can in order to get this guy off the hook. We value life so seriously that we'd claim every last thing until we're 1,000% sure that in fact he's guilty, we cannot put somebody to death. Because as we mentioned at an earlier stage, there's no going back. Once you've killed him, he ain't coming back.
I think you're strengthening my question because, okay, we're more stringent because it's taking someone's life. So you're admitting that you're pushing the guy, you know what I'm saying? So all you're saying is, yeah, this is not the greatest thing to do, but since it's not death involved, we do it. But in a case where there's death involved, we're not even giving the guy any options to get out because somebody might die because of it. Oh, so if you make the guy lose money, it's not so bad. But if he dies, then we won't do it. I mean, that doesn't
make
sense.
Money could always be given back. Money could always be paid back.
Okay, but you're admitting that it's not the most yosher thing to do.
We'll say it's not yosher. We'll say chasrom is not yosher. We're saying we've got to remove any element of doubt. And it could be that he forgot. Could be there's 100 could be's. Maybe he was joking and he didn't realize that if I claim that, it seems very far-fetched. When it comes to dinei nefashos, by the way, there's halacha, you'd be mechalal Shabbos to save somebody's life. Would you go with a majority or do not go with a majority? Do the halachas of Roiv apply? For example, there were 10 people in a building. 9 of them were non-Jews. One of them was a Jew. The building collapsed, and we see 9 people run out. We could not identify them. It was the middle of the night, and it disappeared. So we know there's one person left in the building. There's a 90% chance that it's not a Jew. Would you be Mechalal Shabbos? The answer is yes. You'd be Mechalal Shabbos to say who's over there because there's a 10% chance it might be a Jew, even though B'chol HaTorah Kula, we follow the majority, not in the case of Pikuach Nefesh. In Pikuach Nefesh, the halachas of Roiv do not apply, and we would consider even a far-fetched suffix. So this may be included.
You're allowed to go save the guy, you're saying?
You have to
go save the
guy. Yeah. What happens if a surgeon can perform surgery on somebody on Shabbos to try and save his life, but he says, in all honesty, there's only a 10% chance it's going to be successful? Would he have to do the surgery if it entailed doing malach on Shabbos? The answer is yes. Even though b'chala tera kula, you don't follow the majority. You follow the majority, not in the case of b'koach nefesh.
Do you want to hear an unbelievable psak on that? Rav Moshe Feinstein, if I don't want to be quoted, because I don't think I want to, I heard this. I don't want to say that I'm 100% right. But I heard that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a psak that the doctor can drive home on Shabbos after the surgery. And the reason is because chas v'shalom, the doctor should evaluate, you need me to come now? But then if I go, then I'm going to be stuck there for all of Shabbos.
It's a very complicated sugya. It's a sugya in in Erevin, Hetiru Seifa Mishum Tchilosam, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, as you mentioned, does have very big heterim. Most would not allow the doctor to come back, but I'll cop on him. It depends. It's a very complicated sugya. I'll tell you a little story. When I used to live in Ramah Aleph, I used to learn with our dear friend Rav Moshe Zeller Cohen, Dr. Cohen, and Dr. Barry Dinner, who I'm sure most of you are familiar with, and I think one other person. And we learned the halachas of refuah. We learned the halachas of refuah on Shabbos. And obviously, okay, for them it was a benefit, but for me it was also a tremendous benefit to be able to learn these halachas with two very experienced doctors. So we came to the halacha that you just mentioned. And that is, if a doctor is called out, he's got to leave town, can he come back on Shabbos? It's a discussion, whether he can come back, and if he can come back, can he come back only driven by a goy or a Jew? So Dr. Dinner, who is the Haredi doctor in our neighborhood, in Ramah Aleph, said to him, you know, I would presume that if you would be called out, you would have to come back, because you have to have a Haredi doctor in town, koach nefesh. So he said, interestingly, I'll tell you something. He said, it's true, people knock on our door almost every Shabbos with all types of medical questions, but actually pikuach nefesh questions I hardly ever get. It would seem to be that whenever there's an emergency, people don't come and ask me questions. They just jump in an ambulance and off they go to the hospital. So if that's the case, I'm not sure if I'm really needed back in town for pikuach nefesh purposes. So who says I can come back on Shabbos? At that moment, Rabbi Kornfeld walked in. So I said, fine, you know what, let's ask Rabbi Kornfeld what he paskens. So we told Rabbi Kornfeld, and Rabbi Kornfeld says, Dr. Dinner, if you get called out, you have to come back. Period. Finished. You've got to be around. There has to be a Haredi doctor. The next Shabbos, Dr. Dinner came up to me and said, guess what? I got a knock on my door this week. A pikuach nefesh shayla. So you see that even if it's a far-fetched case, it may be that he's quite rarely asked pikuach nefesh shaylas, he's got to be around. And we pass, and he can come back. Now, what you're quoting, the name of Ramosha, is a whole controversial discussion, because Ramosha seemed to hold that he can even come back and drive the car himself, not just Alidea Goy, which is a whole big discussion. In that particular case, it may be better because he's be'emus needed. Ramosha wasn't talking about that. Ramosha was talking about somebody who's not needed back in town. If your local Hatzolah member is called out, yes, of course he's got to come back. He's got to be on call. Ramosha wasn't talking about that. Ramosha was talking about Stam. Somebody went to accompany a chayla, can he come back? So most hold that he can only come back through a goy. Rav Moshe holds even through a goy, even through a yid, and I think this is the commonly accepted psak in America, but not here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, back to our discussion. Says the Gemara, third bottom line. Omer of Chizkia, minayin shekola moisif goyreya. Sometimes if you add, you're actually detracting. Remember, the snake added the words, not only don't eat, sorry, Chava, not only don't eat, don't touch. And that messed everything up. Because once she added those words, don't touch the tree, well, that gave the snake a foothold to, don't touch. Well, see, you touch it, nothing happened. Rashi explains that, had you not written the Aleph, it would have said Mosayim, which means 200. You added the Aleph, and now suddenly just means two. So you see that sometimes adding can make things smaller. Rav Ashi Amar Ashtei Esrei Yirios. Had it said Shtei Esrei, that would have been 12. When you add the Ayin, it actually goes down to 11. Now, Omar Loi, Omar Abaya, Loi Shanu, this principle of saying Meshate Ani Boch only applies Elo Do Omar Meshate Ani Boch. If you say those words, I was joking. Aval oimar loy hoyu dvarim oilam. But if you say, I deny ever admitting to you in the first place, well, then he's a downright liar. If he says, yes, I admitted, but I wasn't being serious, okay? But if he says, loy hoyu dvarim oilam, I don't know what you're talking about, I admitted which admission, well, then he's a downright liar. Huchzuk kafir. Well, then he's proved as a liar, and obviously that would not be acceptable. Rav proper braid Rav Acha bar Ada hochi omarina mishmoy derava kol mili dechdi loy dechiri enshi. He said that actually, even if he says I never admitted, maybe he would be believed because irrelevant things people don't remember. So when he said yes, I owe you money, well, he knew he was joking, maybe, and it was just like a joke. When he comes to the next thing, he says, what? I admit it, I don't remember. Oh, how come you don't remember? What do you mean you don't remember? The answer is not because he's lying. It could well be because it was so insignificant. I made such a joke of it that I made no bother, made no effort to mention, to remember it. So it could be you are believed. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. We're up to the words. Omar Lohu. Bez Hashem, we'll need Siyata Deshmaya, but Bez Hashem tomorrow, we'll finish our Chazara and we'll reach the Flamma Domal Aleph in Mes Hashem.